communities. This is Chin Radio, 97.9.
From the National Newsroom of the Canadian Press, I'm Leanne Davis. Canada's Public Health Agency says another three people have died from listeriosis, bringing the death toll to six. All six deaths in which the bacteria was a principal cause of death or a determining factor have taken place in Ontario. Another six deaths have been confirmed as cases of listeriosis, but are still being investigated. Meantime, the Maple Leaf meat plant linked to the nationwide outbreak will not reopen Tuesday. A spokeswoman says they have completed disinfecting the facility, but they want to do a test run of product before fully reopening. Saskatchewan Corrections Minister Daryl Hickey wants a review of communications after a jailbreak in Regina. Six inmates escaped from the facility Sunday night, but a public warning wasn't issued until Monday afternoon. Hickey says he's concerned about the length of time it took to notify the public.
We have some very difficult questions. Could we have done better? Could we have done it sooner? Right now, I believe both agencies acted appropriately from what I've been told. But was it released soon enough? Not to my liking.
One inmate was quickly apprehended. RCMP say the five still at large, including four who face murder charges, should be considered dangerous. Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy has told a standing room only crowd at the Democratic National Convention in Denver that nothing could keep him away from this special gathering. Kennedy, who is battling brain cancer, thanked friends and family who he says have strengthened him. He also promised that he would be present next January on the floor of the U.S. Senate. Crew members aboard the Halifax-based HMCS Ville de Quebec got to spread a little good last weekend in Africa. On Sunday morning, the frigate completed its first escort mission, helping to deliver 5,000 tons of food to Somalia. Commander Chris Dickinson called it a completely different feeling than he'd ever had before on any mission. The ship is on a six-week deployment protecting United Nations World Food Program shipments from pirates. A large contingent of Canada's Olympic athletes returned Monday to Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal after competing at the Summer Games in Beijing. Krista Gollien, who competed in the women's quad rowing event and finished eighth, was asked if the Canadian team members were worried when they had failed to win any medals for the first several days.
I mean, I was personally aware. I kind of looked at the medal count a couple times and saw, but I knew rowing was going to pull through, and as a sport, we did. And yeah, there wasn't a feeling like that in the village. There weren't athletes walking around all disappointed or anything. But yeah, no, it was good.
Canada finished with a total of 18 medals at the Beijing Games, including 3 gold, and they will be aiming to finish higher at the 2012 Games. Those will be held in London. This is the Canadian Press. In sports, Olympic tennis.
Welcome to another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton, coming to you from Murray Street down in the market on this wonderful Monday evening. Tonight we have a program put together for you which I hope you find interesting. In Tralee, the first leg or the first heat of the 49th pageant of the Rose of Tralee took place, and the second part takes place tomorrow when the Rose of Tralee for 2008 will be crowned. And we're devoting tonight's program to a special on the Rose of Tralee, and we will be talking to, among others, Karina Higgins, who is the Rose that is representing Toronto in Tralee at the moment. We'll also be talking to Kathleen Conway, who was the Rose in 1981 for Toronto, and Erin McPherson, who represented Edmonton earlier on this year but didn't make it through to the Rose of Tralee. This program is also available on the internet at www.thegaeligar.ca, and my email address is austin@thegaeligar.ca. We do put this program on as a podcast and an archive, usually later in the week, and you can get that in the archive section, and we have magazine programs going back to 2005. In addition, we keep a calendar up there, and we also have the playlist, and the playlist lists the music that we play here on The Music Like Tonight. You're going to hear Robin Averill, our local Robin Averill, sing The Rose of Tralee. And we have Christy Moore with a slightly different version called Me and the Rose. And that will be finishing up the program. And we have a little piece of James Last in there, as well as Phil Coulter and James Galway and the Kerry Dances. This program is brought to you in part by the generous sponsorship we receive from the Irish Village Group of Companies and also from the Monterey Inn. The Irish Village is where you can go down any Wednesday to Saturday and find live music, whether it be on Preston Street at the Hart and Crown, or whether it be Old Dubliner, the Poorhouse, or James Street pub on Bank Street, or in the Irish Village itself in the market, which includes Roisin Dubh, Mother McGinty's, the Hart and Crown, and the Snug Pub. And of course the Monterey Inn, where if you want to have someone coming to town and you want some place to stay close to the airport, an ideal location, which is no more than a few minutes from the airport and backing onto the Rideau River. But let's find out all about the Rose of Tralee. Tonight in Tralee in Ireland, the Rose of Tralee is celebrating its 49th year, and there's a contestant all the way from Toronto, but in fact, she's a student at the University of Ottawa, and her name is Karina Higgins. But before getting to Tralee, the history of the Rose of Tralee in Canada goes back quite a number of years, and Kathleen Conway represented Canada some years ago, and Kathleen is on the phone. Welcome to the Gaelic Hour, Kathleen.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here and to share some of our stories with you and your listeners.
So
the rose is a something dear to my heart, and having won it in 1981, I do have lots of great memories, and it's certainly nice every year to send a Toronto girl off to knowing she's going to have a fabulous, life-changing experience.
How long ago, are you aware, did the Rose competition get underway here in Canada and in Toronto?
Well, in Toronto, in 1963, there was an Irish pub downtown in Toronto. I can't remember the name. They just decided one night, oh, let's try and send somebody over. So they kind of quickly arranged for somebody to sponsor the flight. I believe at that time it was Gilligan's Travel in Toronto. And they had just at a dance one night and kind of made an announcement. So I believe eight or six girls sat on chairs on a stage, and a couple of guys huddled up in the corner, and they picked Eileen Carney, whose father was a big, he had a radio station similar to yours for many years, the Brian Carney Show in Toronto. So she was the first rose, Eileen, and they did the same thing kind of the year after, and then they ended up skipping a year, so that threw us off of our numbers a little bit for celebration. So for Toronto, next year is going to be our 45th anniversary.
Wow.
So yeah, we're very excited about that and looking to make a bigger splash and a bit of a hoopla.
And of course, the Rose of Tralee is based on a few lines from the song The Rose of Tralee.
Yes, there's a whole history on a story that's I wouldn't want to bore your listeners with the whole thing, but it's basically on Mary McClintock, I believe was her name, and she had fallen in love and he had to go to war, and when he finally came back to her, he was there in a pub just having a drink before he went to see her, and a funeral was going by, and it was her funeral. So that's when, that's kind of the folklore behind the story. And then that transcends into you know, that the Rose of Truly is always about inner beauty. It's not a beauty contest. There's no, it's not a bathing suit competition or anything like some of the other, like Miss World or Miss Canada kind of thing. It's very much about personality. There's, the whole Rose of Truly Festival actually is more community and family spirited. So, you know, it brings, you know, people from other countries who are from Ireland or have Irish heritage. It brings them to Canada, or brings them to Ireland, you know, when they go over with their daughter or friend or cousin, and then they meet relatives that they would never have met before. So it brings families together, and certainly the atmosphere is, you're going to see yourself next week, and Truly is very much on music, and the spirit's very, very good. It's a real lovely community event, and it's amazing how many people actually flow into Truly for the festival. You know, the town just swells in terms of numbers.
So,
Kathleen, very excited to still be part of it.
So, Kathleen, going back to your own time then, and the year that you were in the Rose of Truly, tell us about that.
Yeah, that was 1981. I'm some faded rose now. Especially after this summer home with my kids.
So, what was the experience like for you, and what happened in 1981?
Well, in 1981, we had the Toronto Irish Centre had opened their doors in 1979, and I entered. My parents were involved at the Irish Centre, and you know, it was one of those things. We had 17 contestants, and I was really enjoying the meeting other young women who, you know, had Irish background. And, you know, it was really, and I had been to Ireland a number of times. Both my parents are from big families. So I certainly had a sense of, you know, the Irishness, but I didn't really know a lot of young women my age. And it was a great opportunity to forge friendships. And, you know, one of my best friends now was a girl sitting beside me, Maureen O'Sullivan, who had entered as well. So we had really enjoyed the night, and certainly I remember being very surprised when my name was called, and I remember my parents being very excited. And at that time, and even now, we still have a tradition that the contestant, or whoever is crowned the Toronto Rose, then dances to the Rose of Truly song with her father. So it's just a lovely thing. And then going to Ireland, I had no idea really what to expect. I think people try to tell you, oh, you're going to enjoy it, but, you know, you don't really know till you get there. And I remember things like being on a bus and people, you know, little kids running up against the side of the bus, and the windows would be down, and somebody would scream, "Hey, Miss Toronto!" And I was just thinking, "Wow, that's amazing! They recognize me." And then it wasn't until I got off the bus that I saw that our names were on the side of the bus where we were sitting. So things like that, the parades are huge. The crowds of people and the music, and then there was lovely experiences too, like going to homes for, you know, disadvantaged youth or disabled adults. And, you know, they were so excited that some of the roses were coming to visit them, and they so proudly showed us, you know, projects they were working on. And I think one of my favorite memories was going to an old age home, and, you know, the seniors came outside and they were, you know, just excited, and we had some music going, and you know, we got a couple of them up to dance a little bit, but you just know that that was such a big thing for them and really took them out of the, you know, daily routine they would be going through, and they'd be hearing about the rose and reading about it in the newspapers. And one of the other things that surprised me was how much betting goes on. There seemed to keep the newspapers away from the contestants, but you know, I would run into cousins or have a quick phone call, and they'd say, oh, the odds on you are 3-1, or it's moved up to 2-1, and then today you're back to 4-1, and that was pretty funny. I thought that was quite, we don't really have that kind of betting here in Canada unless you're at the racetrack. And,
Kathleen, then at that time you would have met Gay Byrne.
Gay Byrne was the
He would have been the compere at that time.
Yes.
And also, after you were crowned, the year afterwards, of course, is a year of honor, as I understand it.
That's right.
So what happens then, or what happened?
Well, what happens then is you come home and you've had this, you know, great experience, and you. What I ended up doing was just, I got very much more involved in the Irish Center down on DuPont Street, and I ended up being on the executive and the committees and got into some fundraising and started helping organize the Rose. They didn't really have a consistent committee at that time, so it seemed like we were always going off the cuff and just kind of pulling it together quickly. But once we, you know, over the years, once you have a committee who's got some experience, you know, in organizing the Rose, then, you know, you've got your sponsors in place. It's very important to have your flight and some prizes because you want to attract, make it attractive as well. And so for Toronto, we have been very lucky. We have Kentville Travel, Sean Murphy, provides the trip for the Rose to Ireland, flies her there and back, and of course she's a guest of the Festival of Kerry, the Rose of Tralee Festival, and we've been we have Waterford Wedgwood on hand, and they donate some lovely Waterford pieces. We have the Claddagh House with some jewelry. We have the Irish Center itself makes a donation of $3,000, and actually, that's wrong. It's $2,000, and Michael Hurley of Hurley Corporation, they donate $1,000. So this has all been very consistent.
Okay.
And then this year, we were extremely blessed that Leanne Bacon came on board, and she's a lovely dress designer and with a very much a Celtic flair to what she's designing. And so it's been great fun watching the Rose, Rena and Leanne pull this amazing dress together.
Well, Kathleen, maybe that's a good opportunity for us to take a break from some music. And
okay.
I think it's probably a good opportunity as well to play The Rose of Tralee, because if I'm not mistaken, the lines in the song that this whole pageant is around is that she was lovely and fair like the rose of summer, but it was not her beauty alone that won me. Oh no, it was the truth in her eyes ever dawning that made me love Mary, the Rose of Tralee.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM. We are talking with Kathleen Conway, and coming back after this piece of music, we will be talking with Leanne Bacon and Corina Higgins.
The pale moon was rising above the green mountain. The sun was declining beneath the blue sea, as I strayed with my love to the pure crystal fountain that stands in the beautiful vale of Tralee. She was lovely and fair as the rose of the summer, it was not her beauty alone that won me. Oh no, 'twas the truth in her eyes ever dawning that made me love Mary, the rose of Tralee. The cool shades of evening, their mantle were spreading, and Mary, all smiling, was listening to me. The moon through the valley, her pale rays were shedding, when I won the heart of the Rose of Tralee. Oh, lovely and fair as the rose of the summer, had her beauty alone that won me. Oh, no. 'Twas the truth in her eyes ever dawning that made me love Mary, the rose of Tralee.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cummerton, and we were talking to Kathleen Conway, a former Toronto Rose. Now we're going to actually talk with Leanne Began. And Leanne is designing the dress that Karina Higgins will be wearing tonight in Tralee. And Leanne has donated her expertise in design. She has a design studio in Toronto. Leanne, welcome to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM.
Hello there.
So you've been busy as a bee or a beaver or whatever.
Definitely.
Wrapping fabric around Karina so that she can represent both you, Toronto, and Canada very well in Tralee tonight.
Yes, I have. I've worked very hard, and it's quite easy making her look gorgeous, but I've had a blast so far, and I'm delighted to be a part of the Rose of Tralee this year.
So what got you involved, or what encouraged you to get involved in the Rose of Tralee?
Well, a friend of mine, actually, Maeve McCarthy, she recommended me to Kathleen Conway, and soon enough I got a phone call from Kathleen asking if I'd be interested in being a part of the Rose of Tralee. And myself, I've got some Irish background. My father's from Ireland, and I once actually was in the Rose of Tralee. So I definitely wanted to be a part of it, so right away I agreed. And within a few days, I had the sketch already done out, and now it's all ready to go, and Karina will be off to Ireland soon. So
I know we're not going to break any secrets because Karina will have been on stage at this stage, but if you were to try and describe your creation, how would you do so?
Well, I decided to go with a Celtic theme. I had done a bit of research. I have a few books on Irish art, and I really liked the shrine to St. Patrick's Bell. It has some really gorgeous Celtic knots on it, so I decided to take a few of those, and I worked those into the design, and I've got, the dress is actually an eggplant color, or for the guys who are listening, it's purple. And I decided to use some black leather for the Celtic knots and some crystals for a little sparkle, so it turned out very, very well, and I'm really happy with it.
So, Leanne, is this your first involvement with the Rose pageant?
It is. It is my first year, and I hope to do it again next year and take part every year. It was definitely something I really loved being a part of. Again, with the Irish heritage and the fact that I do make dresses, it's something I'm so passionate about. So it really, you know, brought two things together that I love, and just completely excited and so proud of Karina and the design, and I know she'll do well in Tralee.
So, Leanne, as I understand it, Karina will have the opportunity to display and talk about the dress when she is on stage and give credit where credit is due in your design tonight.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. She will be mentioning me in the program, so it is something that I think the family in Ireland will be impressed with. My granny actually was a dressmaker back in the day, and her seven daughters all took part in that as well, so it's in the family, so we've got a few watchers in Armagh definitely checking out the program, so yeah, I'll be excited about hearing maybe, you know, the possibility of her mentioning my name, and I'll be in the crowd watching.
So do you hope, once the pageant is over tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday, that you get the opportunity to do a little bit of research on some Irish fashion design?
Definitely something I'm interested in. I know Karina, actually, she's got family members in Ireland, and I think one of them is a fashion designer, too. I would definitely even love the chance to go over for a while and maybe study with one, or, you know, check out some of the Irish designers. So, yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
Well, Leanne, I'm going to put on another little piece of music here.
Okay.
And I'm going to thank you for taking the time to chat with me. And I think when we come back after this piece of music, we'll be talking with Karina.
Okay, wonderful.
You are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM. And I should mention, by the way, Leanne, before you do go, should anybody want to have some exclusive design that has a Celtic flavour to it or anything like that, where can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can log on to www.leannevegan.ca, or they can throw me an email at info@leannevegan.ca, or give me a buzz at 905-429-0712.
You are listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron.
This is Daniel O'Donnell here, and you're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM. Keep the dial where it is.
The little Irish village with the heart and crown is the ideal place to find a good pint in a warm atmosphere. A snug pub, cosy, well-appointed alehouse with an inviting fireplace, and intimate coves for small groups. Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, the Black Rose, complete the Irish village. Sit on the patio, enjoy the buzz of the market. If it's a planned party or a casual visit, the Irish Village is the ideal spot. Music, food and drink in a welcoming atmosphere. It can only be the Irish Village.
The sun must say,
Fortune's Favour, the new album from Canada's own Great Big Sea.
Featuring the inspiring first single, Walk on the Moon.
Get Great Big Sea ringtones and more. Text GBS to 311-311. Data charges may apply.
Great Big Sea, Fortune's Favour. On sale now at all CD warehouse locations.
Would you like to join the Chin Radio team? CJLL, Chin Radio, Ottawa, is a multicultural radio service providing programming in 21 different languages. And we're always interested in hearing from people who may wish to represent their community on the air with 97.9 Chin Radio. Please feel free to contact me personally for more information. I'm Gary Michaels, General Manager and Program Director of Chin Radio, Ottawa. And I can be reached at 613-244-0979, extension 1522. Or via email, gary@chinradio.com.
Do you want to discuss Chinese culture? Want to find out more about Beijing 2008? Missed the latest strange news story? Be a part of the Beyond Beijing family.
Beyond Beijing.
Visit www.cribeyondbeijing.com and join the Talk China Forum. Experience the real China from your own computer. Listen to Beyond Beijing. Weekdays on China Radio International.
Buying a cellular phone this summer?
Wireless Store, your Talon authorized dealer, is offering this incredible deal.
For only $20 a month, you get unlimited evenings and weekends calling starting at 6 p.m. Plus 100 minutes of anytime calling, including voicemail, call waiting, and conference calling.
Just visit any of the Wireless Store locations in Ottawa.
Orleans on St. Joseph Boulevard. Bell's Corners on Robertson Road. Bank Street in Blossom Park Plaza. Montreal Road at Saint-Laurent. Elgin Street and the Train Yard Plaza of Industrial.
Talon, the future.
One man set himself the task 10 years ago of recording some of the old ways of farming that have virtually disappeared in his own lifetime. Michael Lyons from the parish of Taghmaconnell in South Roscommon.
This is the parish of Taghmaconnell in South Roscommon. I was born here. In the late 40s, my father was farming and out working for hire with horses, cutting hay and corn. At that time, most of the work on the farm was done by horses, except for the thrashing, which was done by either steam or tractor. In the early 50s, the tractor became more popular and the horse started to disappear off the land. My father taught me the old ways of farming, and this video shows some of these old ways as well as the transition from horse to tractor and other aspects of life in rural Ireland at that time.
To purchase your copy of the Old Ireland DVD, visit www.thegaelichhour.ca and follow the links. The Monterey Inn is your premier choice for an exceptional stay in a resort setting along the Rideau River, close to the airport and minutes to downtown of our nation's capital. The Monterey Inn offers a host of features for the discerning visitor that includes meeting and conference facilities, an outdoor heated swimming pool, fitness center and room service. Drop in and enjoy the fine dining experience at La Bodega Lounge for our famous Sunday brunch. The Monterey Inn at 2259 Prince of Wales Drive, 613-288-3500 or www.monterey.ca. Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cummerton. And we are now talking with Corina Higgins. And this is the wonders of technology, because Corina was on the stage in Tralee a few hours ago. And now she's here on the Gaelic Hour in Ottawa. Welcome to the Gaelic Hour, Corina.
Thank you very much.
So you are the Toronto Rose for 2008.
And I am.
And to give a bit of background, where were you born?
I was born in Dundonald.
Which is just outside Belfast.
Yes.
And your mom and dad came over when you were young?
Yeah, we moved over to Canada when I was a year old.
Okay. So you lost your northern accent.
I did, but when we went back when I was 13, we lived in Bangor for a year. I got it back really quickly, my mom said. I didn't notice it, but apparently I got it back thick and really quickly.
The other thing we want to touch on before we get to talk about the roles is that you have an Ottawa connection.
I do. I go to the University of Ottawa, which I love Ottawa. It's a great city.
And what are you doing at the University of Ottawa?
I'm currently a second-year student, and I'm majoring in linguistics, and I'm minoring in psychology. I'm hoping in 5 years I will be a speech-language pathologist. So I've got 5 years left, so... It's a long time, but I love my program, and Ottawa is a great school. I've made lots of friends, and I'm excited now to hear that the Rose is coming to Ottawa, because it's kind of a long trek to come back and forth to Toronto, but I will be doing different activities in Toronto, but now that there's the Rose in Ottawa, I'll definitely have to partake in some of the activities you're having down up there now.
Well, let's not be over presumptuous. We're hoping that we can persuade the organizers in Tralee to allow us to have a Rose in Ottawa for 2009.
I'm sure they will.
And until we can pull that one off, we have to talk in terms of that it is still something we're working on trying to achieve. We hope that we do, and we certainly will be looking forward to having you participate in a variety of things. Whether or not we are successful at getting the Rose here for 2009, we want you to participate in a variety of things during Irish Week of 2009 anyway.
Yeah, it's fun.
So tell us, how did you get involved in the Rose?
I was informed about it through my mother's friend, Kathleen Conway, who you were talking to just before.
Yeah.
She asked me to enter it last year, and me being the shy little thing that I am, I declined. And that whole year I had heard about the competition and had kind of wondered what it would have been like if I had done it. And then this year Kathleen approached me again, and she sent me the application, and I was at school actually in Ottawa this time and kept looking back at it and being like, it would be such a fun thing to do, and meeting girls who are like me, who have Irish heritage. So I filled in the application, sent it in, and went to the competition. It was fun, and like without like Kathleen really like helped me, like, and my mom decided to go in.
So how many other girls were competing this year for the Toronto Rose?
There was 8 of us, like, including myself.
Okay.
So, yeah, and they're great girls. We talk, all the time on the computer. And Sarah Nestor, the winner from last year for Toronto, she's helped me out a lot with information of what I should know and what I should bring and stuff like that. She's been a great help.
Now, I know part of the Rose is where you're asked to do something to show how you're able to let your personality be seen in some way. What are you doing on the stage of Tralee tonight?
For my talent?
Yes.
That part of it?
Yes.
Oh. Well, I work at a zoo, the Bowmanville Zoo. So I work at admissions, but I'm lucky enough that we're a really close-knit zoo, so I've become really good friends with all the keepers. And I persuaded one of the elephant trainers to let me do a little video clip of me with the elephant. So I'm riding the elephant, getting up and off of it, like all the elephant's bareback, no saddle on it or anything. And so we've just done that, and I did a co-op at Rogers Television, and they were like kind enough to edit it and make it wonderful. So it's just a silly little video of me with the elephant, just having.
But you don't have any party piece that you're ready to do live in the event that you're asked to either hike up the dress and do a little Irish dance or sing or anything.
No, I used to Irish dance, but I don't anymore. So, and I don't sing. I think if I sang, everyone would leave. But I'm hoping that they, if they see this and put this little clip on, I'll just show that, and everyone will have a good laugh. So we'll see.
So, Karina, the dress that Leanne has designed for you, you got the opportunity to work through the design process, and you're wearing it there on stage tonight.
Yes.
What do you want to tell us about it and how you feel with the end product?
Oh, I love it. It is like the dress of my dreams. It's actually funny. For the Toronto competition, I was searching frantically for a purple dress and could not find one anywhere. And I settled for this beautiful gown anyways. Or shouldn't say settled, I got this wonderful gown. And after I won the Toronto Rose, Leanne and I got together, and she said, I just have a couple ideas. I want you to look at them. And she showed me about 9 sketches, which were all beautiful. And then she said, well, we'll decide on one of these later, but this is the fabric I want to choose. And It's this beautiful, like, eggplant purple, and I, like, fell in love with it right away. So I was like, hey, that's it. That is the color. We're sticking with it. And then the all the fine details that we decided to put on it, she was really good. She let me have a lot to say in how we design it, and I feel like a million bucks in it, and I love it, and I want to take it off, but I might look a bit odd walking around autoimmune in it. So I guess I'll have to take it off after the competition.
Well, I'm sure we'll find an opportunity to let you wear it somewhere around.
Even
before Christmas, maybe.
Okay, good.
Now,
sounds like a plan.
You've already had one trip to Ireland this year with the competition, as I understand it. Is that correct? Or was you qualified?
No,
that you didn't have to go for a qualifying.
No, I didn't. The
Edmonton
winner,
Rose.
Yes, correct. She went over. I haven't been over. I've been over to Ireland a lot, but I haven't gone for the Rose yet.
Okay. So, what else? Like, would of the experience that it has given you so far, and it has been for you, what would you say was the most outstanding experience that you've had since you've got involved in this year's pageant?
So far, my little town that I live in, Bowmanville, I've turned it upside down. It's like I met the mayor, and who meets the mayor? I was just like an ordinary girl, and all of a sudden the Irish pub that was downtown had this huge party for me, and there was like they had on their sign outside for me, and the mayor was there. We had newspapers, and I became this like little celebrity. It's all very shocking, and I like it a lot. But it was just like people are getting to know me, and I waitress at Kelsey's in Bowmanville, and I actually served a table one day, and I have to wear a name tag, and I was serving an Irish family, and I was just talking about where they were from, and I mentioned that I was going over to Ireland, and said I was in the Rose of Tralee, and they were like, I heard you on the radio, and it was just the oddest thing to like have people like recognize me. It was flabbergasting, but quite enjoyable.
Wonderful. Well, Karina, we're going to talk to you again after the Rose of Tralee and get your feedback on your experience after tonight and tomorrow night and how the pageant went. And we'll air that a little bit later on, maybe in September. But certainly it's been a pleasure having you on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks very much.
And hopefully when the results are announced tomorrow night, that you get the honour of being crowned the Rose of Tralee.
That'd be amazing.
Wouldn't it?
That would be.
Wouldn't it? Corina Higgins, thanks a million for coming on the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.
Thank you very much.
She was lovely and fair, like the roses of the summer. Yet it was not her beauty alone that won me. Was the truth in her eyes ever shining that made me love Mary, the Rose of Tralee?
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM, and I'm talking to Maura Quirk. And Maura Quirk is in Edmonton and has been involved in bringing a centre for the Rose of Tralee to Edmonton. Welcome to the Gaelic Hour, Maura.
Yes, thank you very much.
And you're from County Kerry yourself originally?
No, actually I was born here, but I spent many years in Kerry. Just in Castle Island, outside of Tralee.
Okay, so you're intimately aware and connected to the area.
Yes.
So the Rose of Tralee and Edmonton, this is the first year that Edmonton got involved in the, is it?
No, actually it's the second year. We started last year.
So tell me a little about the background and the history.
Well, I started contacting the Rose of Tralee Committee in Ireland there back in about 2003, writing to see what would it take, to create a centre here. And it wasn't that easy, you know. They had so many centres in that. And then they were preparing for their 50th anniversary next year. So they were allowing so many centres to participate at a time. So that's how we started here in the West anyways.
Right. And you, in the West, when you say in the West, Edmonton is including and covering, as I understand it, out to Vancouver?
That's right. Calgary, Vancouver, basically all the Western provinces. One of the rules of the centres is that girls who want to enter, participate in the closest centre to them. So in the West, that would include those cities.
Okay. And what was the inspiration behind this?
Well, my daughter entered a competition down in Toronto, and Toronto was the only centre in all of Canada. And I thought after that time, for travelling and for the expenses of these young ladies, if we had a centre in Western Canada, it would be easier for them to reach.
Right.
And participate in it.
And the Irish in that part of Canada, when you take in Alberta and British Columbia, if there's a good, strong Irish influence out there?
Oh, yes. Yes, there is. In both Calgary and Vancouver, they have a large GAA's association. They have large Irish societies. And so between the three of them, there's all many, many events that they put on year-round, for all the Irish community to attend. Now with the Rose of Tralee, the event that we're going to have annually, it would bring the Tri-City closer together, as a community.
And when it came to getting yourselves organized, did you find that there was a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of interest from the various centers?
Oh, yes. Yes. They were all thrilled to have it, and they were all looking forward to it again next year.
Getting involved and getting somebody through the qualification process. This year, I know you have a girl, Erin McPherson. And Erin came through, and she was from Vancouver.
That's right.
So did you have many entrants?
Yes, I did. I had about 10 entrants this year to start with, and then two couldn't make it in the end, so we ended up with 8.
Okay.
And last year we had 6.
Okay. And when somebody comes through and qualifies as a Rose, as did Erin, what's the next step for the Edmonton Rose in the procedures?
Well, the next step then is she prepares. She goes off to Ireland and she competes over there in a national level, with the new international centres. And then one or two girls are selected from there to come back in August you know, for the final event that's held in Tralee.
So she actually got a trip to Ireland.
Yes, she did. The Irish Society here, they pay for her expenses over there, and then the committee in Ireland, they pay for her expenses, her the hotel, the outings, all the, you know, the food services. So they do. They have a wonderful time.
The Irish community then that have rowed in behind this, has it helped bring the Irish community together?
Oh, it has, yes. It has. I've had quite a few inquiries now from both Vancouver and Calgary. One of our adjudicators came in from Calgary, and I invited one from Vancouver. And this, the lady from Vancouver couldn't make it this year, but she is interested in attending next year.
You yourself then, I'm sure you look on this as an opportunity to take a trip back to Kerry at some stage during the year?
Yes, I hope to. It would be nice to attend over there. There are certain meetings to attend, but besides that, the festival itself, you know, to participate with,
yeah,
you know, the young lady that's chosen here. You know, it's quite important to have sponsorship, you know, and be on hand, you know, for
yes,
to wish them the luck and everything.
Maura, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to say thank you very much indeed for coming on and telling us a little about the background. I know we will be talking to Aaron McPherson later in the program.
Good.
I'm looking forward to that and letting Aaron share some of her experiences.
Yes, she is. She's a lovely young lady. We were quite pleased with her. She did a wonderful job for us over there.
Maura, again, thank you very much indeed for coming on the Gaelic Hour, and we look forward maybe at some stage in the future following up maybe next year on how things are coming along for the Edmonton Centre.
Thank you too very much for asking. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM. And you heard there Maura Quirk telling how the Rose of Tralee pageant was brought to Edmonton. And the winner of the 2008 Rose pageant in Edmonton was Aaron McPherson. And I have Aaron on the phone with me. Welcome to the Gaelic Hour, Aaron.
Thank you very much.
So you came through the Edmonton Centre and you're based in Vancouver. Do you want to tell us a little about the experience? Tell us a bit about who you are and why you entered into the pageant and the experience you had.
All right. Well, I was born and raised in Richmond, BC, and I recently had a friend move over here from Waterford, and she had been in this competition. So she convinced me that it would be a great idea to apply, and the closest center was Edmonton. So I proceeded to apply in Edmonton, and as Moira explained, I won through Edmonton. So I came back here and I spent my time finishing up school and just working, and then I was off to Ireland.
What is your Irish connection?
My grandmother was born in County Roscommon, Castlereagh.
Okay.
And she is from Prince Edward Island.
Okay.
My dad was born and raised in Belfast, Prince Edward Island, and now he lives out here in Richmond, so there's my Irish connection.
And then when you went through the Edmonton Centre, and you that brought you to another qualifying round in Ireland earlier this year?
In Port Leash, County Leash, that's right.
So tell us a little about that.
Well, I actually didn't know what to expect, really, and it took a lot of planning, a lot of work on both mine, my parents, Moira, put a lot of effort in, and when I arrived in Ireland, my family actually, we flew into Manchester, and my family picked us up there, and we took the boat over to Ireland. When I arrived there with the international girls, we were there on a night on our own, so I was able to kind of settle in and meet the girls. And the next day, the Irish girls arrived, and we're at the Heritage Hotel in Port Leash. It was absolutely beautiful. And then they set up the 5 days of events that we had, and we had a variety of things to do, public appearances, civic reception, we had a car parade, It was very busy, tiring. We were up early, to bed very, very late, basically 5 days in a row. But it was the best experience of my life, probably.
Had you been to Ireland previously?
I have once before, 4 years, and I took my grandma back, actually, with my dad, and we went back to Roscommon. She thought it would be her last trip. She's been back since.
So then you had the qualifying round that took place in Portlaoise, and out of that, you didn't make it through to the pageant that is going on in Tralee tonight.
Unfortunately, no, I didn't. It was very disappointing, of course. You put a lot of effort into something like this, and you don't really know, I didn't really know what I was doing. All I could do was just be myself and do the best that I could. And I was representing Edmonton and Western Canada, and all that I was concerned about was representing them well and putting out a good name for Edmonton.
Since you've come back, and now that you are the Edmonton Rose for 2008, what has that meant for you in Western Canada, in the Irish community particularly?
It's kind of neat that I won in Edmonton. I'm from Vancouver, and I've been to Calgary. I went to Calgary with one of the judges. So it's kind of neat now that all three centers are talking. All three areas are kind of communicating with each other, and they're organizing appearances and events for me to go to. I think I'll be going to the opening of a care home. Some Gaelic football tournaments I've been at. So it's kind of neat that it's kind of brought everyone together, kind of in a roundabout way. So it's nice. It really opened up a lot of opportunities for me, not only in Vancouver, but
so
in Alberta.
So do you
as well.
Get the sense that you're a celebrity?
You know, a little bit. It's kind of nice, actually. But, you know, it is still hard work, and I'm still representing. Every time I put that sash on, I have to realize I'm still representing Edmonton, and I have to put out a good name for both myself, my family, and Edmonton.
Erin McPherson, it's been an honor for me to talk to you, and it's a little unfortunate that you're not walking across the boards on the stage in Tralee tonight, but I do appreciate you taking the time to come on the Gaelic Hour, and I wish you every success in the future. Thanks
a
million.
Listen for a while, now I'll tell you the story. How I fell in love with the Rose of Tralee. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. I was only after getting off the boat. I was walking down the north wall, minding my own business with my suitcase under my arm, sitting down every minute till a voice behind me went, "Hello, hello, hello. Where do you think you were going at this hour of the morning?" I turned around, ladies and gentlemen, and who do you think was standing behind me? Only the Rose of Tralee. And she wearing a grand new blue Bangladesh uniform. I thought she was a chief super. "Hey, Rose, how was it going?" "The last time I saw you was upstairs in the tent, down below in the dome, with Gabo and the pretty Polly types and all the beauty queens from Tashkent and Istanbul and Bangkok and Liverpool and... How was she going? Can you account for your movements?" "My movements? Ah, Rose, there's no need to be like that. I'll give you all the movements you want. You better sharpen your pencil."
We've come to the end of another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. I hope you enjoyed tonight's programme. Don't forget it will be available on the internet later in the week at www.thegaelichour.ca. My email address is austin@thegaelichour.ca. Also on the web, of course, there is a calendar listing some of the events that are going on here in the city, in addition to a playlist. Tomorrow night, Mary will be here hosting a music program. Do come back and join her. I know she enjoys putting the music together and coming and sharing it with you. We may also be able to share with you tomorrow night who the lucky winner of the Rose of Tralee was. We'll see if we can grab that and share it with you. I also want to thank Max on the other side of the glass for taking care of everything tonight. And, of course, the Irish Village Group of Companies and the Monterey Resort, without whose help this program would not be on the air. Check the calendar for upcoming events. Tune in tomorrow night for Mary's program. And until then, when I'm back with you next Monday night, this is Austin Camerton wishing you a wonderful evening and saying thank you for listening. Slánga fóill.
"Oh, Esau, Mr. S. Rose, and Gloria Tibbedominus. I didn't know you had to have the Latin to get to Temple Moor. I'd love to hear the old bit of Latin, though. Ah, the old Tridentine. Other to sing ballads at half time in the bingo. And so the Nine First Fright has never killed anyone. Well, the next thing I knew, Rose, I was serving the time to be a corner boy up in the Curragh camp. I was trying to teach the sheep how to talk Irish. And then I got a job, I was selling lamb's balls to mushroom farmers that couldn't afford horse shite. One day I was walking across the Curragh Kildare Road and I fell into an officer's mess. Ended up in the FCA, square bashing around a wet canteen, until the commanding officer heard that. Paddy, serving my time to be a co-pilot in a Kangaroo Hammer in Shepherd's Bush, 2186 MT and a JCB down to Kilburn High Road, and the SPG flagging me down and held me under the PTA until I got away and went underground with the Green Murphy.